Welcome to Real Talk, Real Women, Breaking the Silence Around Abuse. I am Gemma Serenity-Gorokoff, your host, and today we have Anya Nicholson joining us. She is an inspirational speaker and a wellness coach who does not sell supplements. Listen to that. Welcome, Anya. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Gemma.
My first question for you, can you please introduce yourself with what you are doing right now, a little bit more about your wellness coaching, and a little bit about your life story with an emphasis on the kind of abuse you overcame in your life, please.
Well, I am a wellness coach and inspirational speaker who's using my story to motivate other people that you can heal and get your life back. I am a trauma survivor. I was molested at a very young age for several years by my father. And I was raped when I was 20, and the man intended to kill me, but I got away. And this led to a lot of unresolved sexual trauma and led to a lot of illnesses in my body that I didn't understand until I got to the point where I was dying. Still, I didn't quite understand, but all my illnesses seemed to be connected around my uterus and some in my throat where, you know, I've been taught to hold my voice in. And so I teach other women how to take away, figure out what's going on with their health, heal it naturally through diet, breath work, fasting, emotional work, self-concept mastery, and grounding and sun gazing. Those are all things that I used to heal myself.
Wow, thank you very much. And I know that you also mentioned a few of the very serious health issues with cervical, something like that, that you also went through. What was that about?
When I was pregnant with my first son, I had complete placenta previa, where your placenta is covering the cervix. I was told it was resolved and it hadn't. And when my labor didn't progress, they pressured me into taking Pitocin and an epidural. And I had what is called a placental abruption. And I hemorrhaged and lost over 30% of my blood, which killed my pituitary gland, which is a brain injury and caused all kinds of health issues, and the doctor covered it up. So it took 13 years to get treated. By the time I got treated, I was so bad, the medicine made me worse and it was killing me. And it also took away my teeth. I didn't know that I had a connective tissue disorder. And so the cortisol replacement I was on was actually killing me, and it crumbled my teeth and it made me start passing out. And then I hit my head on the garage floor to make my brain injury worse, had a couple strokes. Just got to the point where my vocal cords were partially paralyzed. I couldn't swallow food without choking. I wasn't getting nutrients. I had a perforation in my colon from diverticulitis. I was literally falling apart in every way you can imagine. And when I got to that point, I came home from the hospital and I kicked my husband out. I was just so angry at men, at doctors for ignoring me and dismissing me. And I got on the floor and I prostrated and I begged God to let me die or show me how to heal and make it so clear I would have no doubt in my mind. I was not expecting healing and I wasn't looking for healing at that point. I was looking for death, but I had made a promise that I would not kill myself after having tried once and calling for help, because I had just been so depressed over being so sick, over so much emotional unresolved issues that, you know, I didn't know I had just been swallowing, which is a big part also of having an eating disorder. I was bulimic for many, many years, and I have overcome bulimia, something I never, ever thought that I would be able to overcome.
And you mentioned as well all the amount of weight you lost when you actually overcame bulimia. Tell us that.
I lost 120 pounds. I went on my first diet when I was 8 years old. I used to binge eat at like 2 or 3 years old under the kitchen table. I would hide with a stick of butter and try to get as much as I could down before my mom came and made me spit it out. I would hide and binge on candy. I mean, I just started really, really young binging. And I understand now that I was pushing down all the feelings because, you know, I went, I asked for help and I was told it was in my head and I was imagining it. And, you know, that affected my whole entire life. Not trusting myself, not speaking up for myself, being eager to please, being easily taken advantage of. And these are all things I'd like to help other women avoid by getting in touch with what was wrong sooner.
It's monumental what you went through. Monumental. Rare. It's a rare story to have that much in one person. I understand why you are an inspirational speaker, because by really sharing that you went through all of that and now showing up gorgeous, that doesn't look like anything that you just mentioned. It's amazing. It's a blessing. And being able to actually give back hope to those who are right now struggling with just one of the things that you mentioned. It's already enough.
You can come back and you can start your life over, and you can have faith and hope, and you can come from the worst conditions and thrive. You know, I truly believe now that heaven and hell are here on earth, not in the after. I'm not saying that they're not after, but for me, I found that I lived hell and I'm living my version of heaven right now. Does it mean everything is perfect? Of course not. I have children. But, you know, those things are so small, and I have this gift now. I have a complete faith in my life and everything working out the way I want. I learned when I healed myself that I have an ability to create anything I want. And I was creating a lot of what I didn't want. And I learned that I was using the word against myself a lot. And I don't do that anymore. I'm very, very careful about the words that come out of my mouth, the energy that I let into my life, the things that I put into my mouth and on my body. You know, you learn when you're really, really sick how important it is to take away, and to take away anything that creates a hyper arousal and puts you into fight or flight mode. So when I was sick, it was only comedies, only self-help. I wouldn't even watch a scary movie or anything with my kids that had action in it for a long time.
And you did so good, because we really don't need that kind of things. There is enough in life to make us feel that way, for sure. So you said that at some point you actually prostrated, went on your knees to ask God, either let me die or heal me and show me the path in a way that I cannot miss it out. Can you just maybe tell us that short moment in time, because that is a key in that shift in consciousness.
It's right key. After I did that, I spent 2 days on the floor rolling around on a tennis ball, putting my shoulder back into place because my arm was out of the socket. And something clicked in my brain, like, this is just not normal. Most people don't live like this. They don't have to live like this. And it just got in my head to go to MedExpress, like the urgent care. And I went and they x-rayed, and I had already gotten it back in. And everybody there had shoulder surgery that day, all the people that worked there. And I was, you know, I let them know I was into really natural healing. And they recommended I go see somebody that left that practice and started their own natural practice. So I went to the person's website, although I never did go to them. I clicked on one link after another link after another link. And I was led to an article called Complex Atlas Subluxation Syndrome. That's where the Nuka chiropractor care comes in. I found out that when I had passed out and hit my head on the garage floor, the first disc in my neck, the atlas disc, had partially dislocated. And that's why I was having seizures. That's why I couldn't swallow. It had really affected my vagus nerve. And I found the Nuka chiropractor 15 minutes from my house the next day. So it was like, all of a sudden, like, I call it my yellow brick road. It was like everything just lined up, and it was like my feet were being moved for me, because I finally had said, God, I can't do this anymore. Do it for me. You know, I'm tired of trying to figure it out. You know, and I had been through 2 12-step programs when I was younger. And that, you know, when I had reached that point of surrender, I was really in my head, because I remembered that first step, admitting that I'm powerless. And, you know, I spent 13 years begging doctors to help me, believing they would help me and cure me, only to find out that the medicine I had been begging for would destroy me. You know, I had no idea that I had this condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is hypermobility, and a lot of other health issues can be caused by it. And I didn't know that I had it. And then hemorrhaging and having my brain affected and my hormones affected, like, triggered that other condition and made it worse. So it's just like a whole bunch of stuff. But all my trauma, it seemed to really be around things to do with my uterus, of course. So, you know, I started doing a lot of emotional healing work after I started getting better, because I had to get off of the cortisol replacement. I had developed secondary adrenal insufficiency, which is the same as Addison's disease, except you're born with Addison's. Mine was developed from my pituitary gland dying. So I have what's called Sheehan syndrome, a form of hypopituitarism that you can only get from hemorrhaging during childbirth. And a lot of women hemorrhage during childbirth and the doctors cover it up and they don't tell them that you have this brain injury. I mean, there's like no way not to have it after you hemorrhage. And it can be easily controlled with proper care if you get a hormone replacement right away. I was denied hormone replacement and told by many male endocrinologists that this only happens in third world countries. And I was just shut down and ignored and dismissed. One day my husband drove me around to four ERs with the kids in the car because I was going into adrenal crisis, and all they would offer me was Valium. And I got somebody on a phone from a Facebook support group, and she talked to the doctor and they treated me and it saved my life. And so the thing is, like, all these things kept coming up, like the feelings of being dismissed by men, not being listened to by men, all these triggers just kept popping up in different areas of my life until I started connecting the dots. Like, here is stuff that has to be addressed. Now, I had realized, I want to say a few years before that, about my father, I had repressed my memories for a very, very long time. And he had been taking advantage of my husband and having my husband come over and do a lot of housework for him and my mom. And then they'd say they needed the help because they didn't have the money. But then they'd go out to dinner. And I'm like, well, you can pay for lawn care if you can go out to dinner. But my husband's not driving an hour with two little kids and a sick wife to help you anymore. And my father got really, really mad at me, like irrationally, not normal. He started stalking me. He was bullying me, sent me things in the mail, phone messages, Facebook, everything. And when I told my mom, she told me my father wouldn't do that. And I'm like, but I have proof. That's the thing. I walked around with a brain injury. Here's my MRI. I have proof. No, you don't have anything. We're not treating you. You know, and here, mom, I've got messages and 20-page hate letters from dad telling me to kill myself. Your father wouldn't do that. So I cut out everybody. I cut out my in-laws. They're insane anyway. I cut out my parents, my brothers, everybody except my aunt, who my father also had molested, because she came to me at one point and told me, you know, I know everybody thinks you're crazy, but he did it to me too. And that's why when you were a little girl, I lived with you until you were about one or two and I had to leave for whatever reasons. And she said, I was protecting you from your father. And so I stupidly told my mom this. This is after my dad died that I got this information. And I told my mom. My mom called my aunt. My aunt denied it. And I get that I should not have done that. That was on me. The thing is, my mother is finally getting to the point of believing me. It's been a lot of work, a lot of setting boundaries. You know, I let her back in my life when my father died. And she wanted me to make a public announcement apologizing for accusing my father of abusing me. And I told her, and she was out of my life. And the sad thing is, my mother was also molested by her father. My father was molested by his uncle and most likely his father, who I also believe molested my aunt as well. And there's this big cycle of sexual abuse on both sides of my family. And forgive me, but I'm so happy I don't have a daughter. You know, I wanted a daughter. I have a goddaughter. She's gone through her own sexual trauma. She was raped. You know, it's like, it's so prevalent. And people say it doesn't happen. And the thing is, you get triggered. Like, I've done so much work and I still get triggered. My husband the other night, a few weeks ago, grab my breast. I was not in the mood. Grab my breast. I'm like, well, which part? Like, 18 years together, do you not get that until I've given you like very clear signals, you don't do that? He's a man. He forgets. He loves and adores me, so I can forgive him. But like, I was mad at him. And the thing is, something clicked for me at that point. And I'm like, you know, all those years, like as a young girl, I developed breasts at 8 years old. And, you know, as a young girl standing in line and having grown men accidentally back up and stumble into me so they could elbow me and get a feel of my breasts. Like, these are things women deal with their whole entire life. And then men are like, oh, why are you afraid to go running alone when it's dark? Well, I don't know. Why do you think? Like, you know, we're taught to not listen and to our own inner gut. And after I was raped, I read this book, The Gift of Fear. And I recommend anybody read that. Even if nothing's happened to you, if you have a daughter, read it, give it to her. It really tells us to get in touch with our feeling because we have a little voice. And let me tell you, before I got raped that night, that little voice was yelling at me, yelling. You know, I was into drugs. I was hanging out with people, getting high. I got set up and some girl set me up for money so she could get money. And, you know, I was able to find out later on. But the thing is, like, you know, the damage was done. And I had lived knowing that I was going to die. He let me know he's going to kill me. And I only was able to escape because his mother got home. Otherwise, I would not be alive. And I found out 1 year later that he had served 13 years in prison for raping somebody else before me. And I couldn't even press charges, not really, because I was not a virgin. I did not have proof. I had a record of running away from home. And the state attorney's office told me, we are not here to protect the victims. We are here to protect the criminals. So the only good thing that came out of it was I got free therapy for, I don't know, a year. And the thing is, I got the free therapy before I found out he raped somebody else. And I remember the therapist telling me, this is not the first time this man has raped somebody. Because of how prepared he was and all the things he did. Like, you know, he had 13 years in prison to be like, how can I hide the evidence next time? And he did a really good job of that. But like, you know, I was raped by him and then the police system raped me again. They walked him out of the police station past me and he smirked at me knowing he got away with it. It didn't matter that I had bruises, that I had marks on my body. He said I was just a jealous girlfriend trying to get him in trouble. You know, and I remember when I read the police report, I started having a nervous breakdown. Then it was the police report that did it to me because it made me look like the most horrible, horrible person. And all I was a stupid, young, innocent, trusting girl. And I shouldn't be shamed for having been stupid, but I was very trusting. I moved to Florida from Tabernacle, New Jersey. You know, even though my mom warned me, people are bad, I didn't listen. And the thing is, there's so much tied up between me and my own mother. It's been a big, big part of my work and my healing. My mother was gang raped when she was a virgin. She was, I think, 15 or 16. And you know, she started having a nervous breakdown when the father started joining in. And like I've always known this about her. And so even though I've had a lot of issues with my mom, I also have a lot of forgiveness for her because she was so, so damaged. I mean, she told her mother didn't even call the cops. You know, and so there's just this path that it goes on and we hold it in our body and then we get sick. And then all of a sudden we're in our 40s and we've got kids and a husband and demands and we're trying to keep up with life. And then we start getting sick and we don't understand why. You know, and I've seen it with so many women. You know, I'm a homeschool mom. And so I'm in a lot of big social circles and I speak with a lot of women. And I don't think I've met one woman who doesn't have some type of sexual trauma, not one. And there's not a lot of information out there for us to heal. This is the first time I've actually sought out speaking about it. And it was the thing with my husband that triggered it. I was like, you know what? I want to tell some other woman, if your husband does that and you get so triggered that you don't like want to speak to him for a week, there's probably something else going on. It's not just the thing. I mean, yeah, it's annoying, you know, that he would do that and forget, but there's something deeper, you know, and I had forgotten about men bumping into me when I was little and it like just triggered all that.
You know, it's heartbreaking. I hear you and I recognize and I acknowledge that this is what happened with you. And you are not the only one. Other people here who are listening right now are in tears because they hear exactly what they went through, being dismissed by men, being dismissed by their own mother, even though all these people who are dismissing them also went through plethora of trauma. And the other thing is that I was so happy and grateful to have only two boys and not a girl. So I was sure that there was not going to be sexual trauma. Think again. My son was raped by his own biological father. So when I heard that,
it was like,
right. And my entire world crumbled down because I was there so grateful to not have a daughter to make sure that she wouldn't be raped. And then I hear what? Mm-hmm. No, men and boys are not exempt from that kind of behavior. When there is a perverted, sick person, sexually mm-hmm. sick person.
My dad, it was done to him too.
It's going to happen. So it's like, yeah. Oh,
so innocent and so easy to abuse.
Exactly. But
the thing is, people think like they're not going to remember. They remember. Maybe they don't remember the way we think. But their bodies, our bodies remember the trauma, all those behaviors we come up with, not to mention the guilt. And here's another thing I'm going to talk about that a lot of women are not going to talk about. The guilt over it feeling good. The confusion over it feeling good. Your body has a natural way of reacting. And when a grown man who knows where to touch touches you and you react, and then when later on when you're an adult and you realize how wrong it was and you feel guilty, you know, there's all these mixed up feelings and you're like, am I sick? Why did I enjoy it? Why did I get, you know, how did I respond? Why did my body respond? What's wrong with me? Your body did what it was supposed to. Somebody manipulated your body knowing it would respond that way. And you didn't do anything wrong. Like, you know, I walked around with so much shame over that for so many years, like, but it felt good. I mean, I learned to masturbate so young. I taught all my friends to masturbate. Like, and I didn't realize that wasn't normal. Like, you don't think about that, but I knew how to reach an orgasm at like 2 years old. You know, you shouldn't know how to do that. And I was just told I was born oversexed. I wasn't born oversexed. Somebody sexualized me, a little baby girl who had nothing sexual about her.
It's incredible. We have another episode here on Real Talk Real Women. If you go listen to Dr. Toni Bayer, she has exactly the same experience being molested as a child, and she became hypersexual and just moved on with her life that way. It's like there is a time for healing. So we are coming to the end of this episode. I really want to emphasize the good part of your story. You started to heal. You found and you were led to many good, healthy, wellness, lifestyle choices. What are some of those?
I meditate. I spend time connecting in nature where I walk barefoot to get the electrical charge from the earth, which helps our body to be healthier. And I stare at the sun. since I lost a lot of blood, I was anemic and we couldn't get my levels up. We couldn't get my vitamin D up. And somebody told me, stop wearing sunglasses. And then the next, you know, person was like, look at the sun. I'm like, you can't look at the sun. You'll go blind. That's not true. I mean, maybe if you look in the daytime, but if you stare at the sun within the first hour of sunrise and the hour before sunset, you only need to do it a few seconds. I usually do it a couple minutes a day now, like work twice a day. Your vitamin D levels are going to shoot up. Like, it's the best thing in the world. I tried every supplement, prescription, you name it, for 13 years. Nothing worked. 1 month doing that, and it was life-changing. So grounding and sun gazing, being outside in nature, breath work. I did breath work originally to get more oxygen into my body because my muscles lock up. And what happens is I partially dislocate a lot with the connective tissue disorder. So I had to learn to do breath work to relax my muscles so that I could reset whatever partially dislocates. It's not as painful to me as it sounds to most people because it slips out easy. It also goes in easy if I'm not tensed up. So I lay outside with my feet on the ground and I do breath work for 20 minutes a day, 21 minute breaths where you inhale for 15 seconds, hold on the inhale for 15, exhale, squeezing your abdominals for 15 seconds, and then hold on that exhale for 15 seconds. It's going to take you a little bit to work up to that. Then you're going to start noticing that your core is strengthening. Like, I had no idea until I was doing planks. I was like, oh, wow, my planks have really improved from doing this breath work. So you get all these benefits. It helps strengthen your vagus nerve. It gets extra oxygen in your body, helping you to be calmer. You're outside connecting with nature. I can't always do it outside, but I try. And then I like staring up at the sky and hearing the birds and, you know, just getting out in nature, walking. When I first started walking, I couldn't even walk 5 minutes a day, but I kept getting out there. Now I walk for at least an hour and a half a day. I take a morning walk with my kids. I take an evening walk with my family. Exercise to strengthen your body, any kind of injury, whatever you can do will help. I did physical therapy for a year. I work with a physical therapist right now who's, I'm in Florida, she's in France. We work over a program online, and she also has the same hypermobility syndrome that I have. So she's helping me learn to build muscles to stabilize myself. And diet, your biggest, biggest key is diet. Let food be thy medicine, medicine be thy food. Most people do not eat food. And if they do, they eat a small, small percentage of it. Now, I am raw vegan, and I'm not telling everybody else you gotta go quit meat or make those changes. And I'm not coming from a point of view of animal cruelty. I'm coming from when your body needs to heal, most of our energy, 80% of our body's energy is used to digest food. And most of us treat our bodies like garbage or waste disposal. And we just put in all these foods that are dehydrated. And then they further dehydrate our body. Dehydration is the leading cause of age, of aging. I'm going to be 47 years old in a month. A lot of people tell me I don't look it. I'm grateful. There are some ways I feel like I look it, but for the most part, I'm very, very healthy because I only put in food in my body that takes like a half hour to a couple hours to digest, but I'm not starving and I'm not bored. I usually juice during the day and then I'll eat like a raw vegan wrap or a raw soup. I make my kids, they're not fully raw anymore, but I make them like raw cheesecake, raw cookies. Not everybody has to eat raw, but if you are in a period of trying to heal, you want to remove cooked foods from your body and you will heal drastically and quickly. It's also the way to drop weight without trying while eating all you want and feeling satisfied. It detoxes your body. It's quite amazing. And it's not something I ever thought I would do. I was one of the girls who ate my steak and licked my fingers and didn't care who was watching. And I would eat my container of Häagen-Dazs. Now, instead of having that, I could get, a couple cups of frozen raspberries or cherries and a couple tablespoons of coconut milk, and I blend it in my Vitamix, and then maybe I'll make some chocolate for it. I don't often combine fat and fruit anymore. That was a big thing, my key to losing the weight and keeping it off. We're told that we need to eat protein and fat together. That's not true. It makes you store fat. You want to keep them separate. So in our family, we eat raw up until dinner. So we only eat fruit up until dinner. And then my kids will have like salad or raw cauliflower rice. And then like I make sure they still have a bunch of raw vegetables and stuff. And then they can have their cooked veggie burgers, or I tend to call them Frankenfood. But they were raw for many, many years and they really wanted to eat some cooked food. So I've had to learn to let go because I don't want to pass my eating disorder on to them. That's a big area of letting go for me. And a lot of women who have sexual trauma have eating disorders, like most of them.
That's true. We have, I'm just thinking about another one of our guest speakers that you can also go listen to. Her name is Nikki Barrett, and she also went through an entire eating disorder due to a plethora of childhood trauma, pregnancy during adolescence, being hidden by her family. It's like,
and we learn to just shove it down. And then bulimia, we shove it down and then we get out the emotions by purging. So I had done a 12-step program for Eating Disorders Anonymous, which was really, really great program. You'd be surprised they have it. There's not a lot of meetings in person, but they had one, where I lived at the time. And that's a big part of my recovery. Like being able to speak out to other people that have gone through what you have gone through, those people are what have helped me heal. And there's not a lot of people who are willing to speak out about sexual abuse because their families will disown them.
Yeah.
My mother knew. I told her, look, I'm at the point of my life where this is coming out and I'm sorry if it hurts you, but if I can save one woman from killing herself or give one woman hope that you can come from the worst and you can live a life of joy, it is possible. I'm here to let you know. I don't feel any of the pain anymore. Like it's all gone. It's been released. Does it come up periodically? Yes. And when it does, I address it. I deal with it. I allow myself to feel the emotions that I didn't allow myself to feel because I denied it for so long. And we have to feel them. If we can't let ourselves feel them, we can't pass them. Like I tell my kids, you can't skip over it. You got to go through it.
Thank you, Anya. What is your website? Where can people get a hold of you, learn from you, buy from you? I mean, You are so precious and so important. How can people get a hold of you?
My website is AnyaNicholson.com, just my name. And then if you look me up on Facebook, it's the same, Anya Nicholson. And my email is the same, except with a Z, AnyaZNicholson.com. Feel free to reach out, ask questions if you'd like to schedule a consultation or anything to see how I can help you, whether it's weight, emotional, or healing from some type of disease, just anything. I've been through so much, drug addiction, sexual, you know, I guess you could call it sexual addiction because I slept around a lot looking for the connection that I never got with my father. And yet I have a loving, healthy marriage that I've been in for almost 18 years. And my husband taught me that not all men are bad. And so did my hypnotherapist, male hypnotherapist, who is one of the very few men that I can just hug and feel very comfortable with. I saw him 5 sessions and he helped me so much with recovering the trauma that I had buried. And like, so if something comes up, I'll go see him. He does sessions on the phone too for anybody who's looking for something like that. He has put away people for doing some of this stuff, or not him, but his helping people. And you know, not all men are bad. And like you said, it's true. It's not just girls that are abused. I do know other men who've been abused, including my father was abused. But you know, we tend to forget that as a woman because we think about what happens to us so much. So.
Yeah, but men are not exempt, no. Sadly. So. No.
But my kids don't sleep out, so we're good.
That's great. Thank you so much for opening up, sharing your story, coming out there, giving hope, sharing what you have gone through and how good you feel now and how you actually live on a daily basis now to continue to feel good or as good as possible. Thank you for all of that.
Thank you. I thank God every day. I do, because it was made so clear to me. But what also was made very clear was that I wasn't saved to go hide, because I wanted to sell our house, which we did, and move to Mexico and be a quiet little place and live and never see anybody again. And God made it clear that that's not what happened, that I was saved so that I could share with other people what is possible. And I made a promise that when I got my new teeth and I wasn't so self-conscious, that I would get out there and I would share my story with people, because it didn't happen to me for not any reason. It happened so that I would learn to speak up for myself. And I want to encourage other women to speak up for themselves too.
Beautiful. Thank you so, so much, Anna. Thank you.